Today's reading is Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
Your word endures forever, Lord, and make it our song today in our hearts for your glory. Amen. When a king or a queen or a president enters a city, it's a big event and a lot of preparation is going on. Maybe you remember 2 years ago what was going on in London, the Queen's 90th birthday. What a preparation and noise, and there were snipers on all roofs and dogs in Westminster and TV channels, and everything was there. And so how was it here in preparation for Jesus' entry? The beginning looks insignificant, silent, and harmless. Just two of Jesus' disciples are told to go to the village over there and bring a young donkey, a colt that was all. Maybe they did not even know why. This was typical with everything in connection with Jesus. When he came into this world, it happened under exclusion of the public. Only a few shepherds got informed. And when he rose from the dead, it happened just the same way, low profile, almost hidden. Palm Sunday, it is the week of the great Passover festival. Jews are coming to Jerusalem from all over the Roman world to remember and celebrate the great exodus from the slavery in Egypt. Many in the crowd had heard of or seen Jesus, and they hoped he would come to the temple. And Jesus did come, not as a warrior king on a horse or in a chariot, but as a gentle and peaceful king on a donkey, and a young donkey, just as the prophet Zechariah had predicted. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your kingdom comes to you, right and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Just to remember, other Gospels mention only the colt, while Matthew mentions the donkey and the colt. Why? You know, Matthew wrote mostly for the Jewish people, while the other Gospels mainly written for Gentiles, those without Jewish background, didn't know anything about the prophecies. Matthew focuses on the prophecy in Zechariah 9, where a donkey and a colt are mentioned. He wants to remind his people how Jesus' actions fulfilled the prophet's words, giving an indication that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the one sent by God. His Jewish listeners with good Bible knowledge should remember the prophecy. But on the practical side, what better to lead an unbroken colt and an unzugerittenes Fohlen for its first ride down a crowded road than to have his mother with it? Even teenagers in certain situations feel more comfortable when mom or dad are nearby. I remember in our years in Kenya, we took care of missionary kids for some years. And there was Kira, a teenager girl, quite tzikik and not easy to go always. But her parents were missionaries in Congo. And during holidays, she wanted to be with her family. But for returning to Kenya, she needed a vaccination. And so I took her to the airport, sitting there in the office and waiting. And then the nurse came with a needle, and as Kira spotted the needle, she stretched her arm, "Uncle Rudy, can you hold my hand?" And so the donkey was somehow quietened with mother nearby. Imagine, with no experience of somebody sitting on its back, it might have gone wild, and the show would have ended in a rodeo show. No, not this way in the program. Verses 8 and the followings are one of the few places where the gospel records Jesus' glory is recognized on earth. Therefore, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Those words we find in a prayer in Psalm 118, where it says, "O Lord, save us! O Lord, grant us success! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" The people recognized Jesus as the one sent from God. He boldly rode as King of Peace, and the crowd gladly joined him. Jesus chose a time when all Israel would be gathered at Jerusalem, where huge crowds could see him, and it was a way of proclaiming his mission. But did they really understand why he had come, even as they expected help from God? As we think of the things which would happen to Jesus a few days later, we doubt that the people there at this time got the real meaning. What was their expectation? All their hopes they saw fulfilled in Jesus. They were praising God for giving them a strong king. He brings righteousness. No one will go hungry. He will care for the poor. He will do away with all evil elements. He will throw out the Roman occupants and restore our nation to its former glory. Now he will fulfill all our hopes, they thought. Therefore, they all rejoiced. And so they were deaf to the words of the prophets and blind to Jesus' real mission. I come in a few minutes back to this point. When they became aware that Jesus was not going to fulfill their hopes, many people turned against him. These same people, at least some of them, would bow to political pressure and desert Jesus. Very soon, some of those waving palm branches would be shouting, "Crucify him!" Today we celebrate Palm Sunday. It should remind us to guard ourselves against superficial acclamation for Christ. Let us just think for a moment, what are our expectations of Jesus as Christians? We expect that he would bless us as family, help to give us success in exams, to take away the painful sickness, help me to find a good partner for life, to change my difficult boss, and so on. Well, all this is not wrong. We are encouraged to come to God with all our petitions. But in summary, is it much different from the expectations of the people in Jerusalem to change just our circumstances? Before I continue with Palm Sunday, I want to go briefly through some other events in the New Testament. Why do we listen to those old stories? Something is strange and remarkable. Each one shows us a unique historical event, something that happened 2,000 years ago. But they show us also that these events happen always today. Jesus was crucified once only at Calvary, but the world crucifies him permanently. Only once he was buried, but each century proclaimed he is dead. And each generation experiences his mighty resurrection, also today. Once at the gate of Nain, he told the crying mother, "Don't cry." Until today, he comforts those who mourn. Once he raised the young man from the dead. But ever since, millions give witness, we know that we have come from death to life. So it is with Jesus entering Jerusalem. An old story, sure. But nevertheless, this also happens in our troubled and confused world today. And now I come back to that point, as I said, that the people in Jerusalem were deaf on the words of the prophet. "See, your king comes to you." Yes, the whole city of Jerusalem was addressed. "Rejoice, daughter of Jerusalem," representing the whole Jewish population. And they rejoiced. It is easy to hide in a crowd behind palm branches, but Jesus sees each member of the congregation as an individual person. As we go through the many stories in the New Testament, how many times did Jesus spend time with individuals? He had 12 disciples, for instance, but each one was called individually to follow him, not just to shout Hosanna, but to allow him to become number one in their own life. But this message did not reach the ears or the hearts of the people in Jerusalem that time. They did not want to have somebody as authority in their life, and therefore they did not experience anything and turned away from him. But Jesus wants to be king in me. He wants to eliminate all the evil things in my life. He wants to bring righteousness in my life. They might have heard the words of their prophet, "I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." But this did not reach their heart. Likewise, we may have gone through years of good Bible-based Sunday school and know all the truth about God and Jesus, but it did not necessarily result in a God-pleasing life. Nevertheless, God does change hearts of flesh in our days, sometimes with or even sometimes without Sunday school. You don't need to believe it because I have said so. Praise God, there are stronger witnesses than my words. I just want to remind us, 3 months ago we had a baptism service in the Adventgemeinde. Who was present there? Please show. Quite some of us. Here in that baptism service, 4 people gave their testimonies in public, to their own surprise, how the King had come into their life and changed it. As I remember, all of them came from atheistic background. 1, a grandmother; 2, a young man, her grandson; 3, a mother; and 4, a boy of 11 or 12 years. The gentle King does not force himself into somebody's life. He says, as a gentleman, I stand at the door and knock. If someone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him and he with me. See, your King comes to you. The people that day in Jerusalem did not know what would happen during the next days ahead. It is our advantage that we know what would happen. And Jesus also knew it in advance. When they shouted 2 days later, crucify him, was he disappointed? No, he was not. He knew in advance what would happen to him. Several times before, he informed his disciples, the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of sinners. He was full in control of the situation, as he always was, and in obedience he went his way to the cross. Why? Because of all the people in Jerusalem, and of me, and of everyone else here. And as we look forward to Good Friday, let me read a few verses from the prophet Isaiah about the suffering servant of God. Surely he took our pain and bore our sorrows. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As we listen to these words, we might be shocked, but this is good to be reminded. We know what God has invested to bring change in our lives, to put our path straight, so that we can sing with joy next Sunday morning here, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you did not finish your way on Palm Sunday. Because of your love for each one of us, and in obedience to the Father, you continued your painful way and challenged death for our sake, to open the way for each one of us so that we can have eternal fellowship with God. Please help us that we never forget your great service for our salvation. Amen.